This is the June 4th open meeting of the Pacifica National Board. I'll ask our secretary, Afia Wangaza, to call the roll.
Sharam Agamir. Tracy Rosenberg.
Here.
Andrea Turner. Joseph Wanzala.
Here.
Sean O'Brien.
Present.
Leslie Radford.
I'm here.
Summer Reese.
Present.
Rico Ross. Bill Crozier.
Here.
Alberto Luera.
Alberto's present.
George Ryder.
Here.
Richard Uzel.
Here.
Nia Bediaco.
Present.
Kathy Davis. Jennifer Jaeger. Alex Steinberg. Alonzo Brown. Campbell Johnson.
Here.
Kimmery Orendorf. Marcel Reed.
Here.
Jim Bennett.
Present.
Afia Wangaza. Present. I believe we have a quorum, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. The first item is the approval of the agenda. There is one item that I forgot to put on myself, which is that I need 5 minutes at the beginning before the first ED report to make a few comments and also to say what was done in executive session. If there's no objection, take 5 minutes for that. Are there any other changes to the agenda?
This is Summer.
Yes.
And Nia?
Yep. Summer first, good.
I wanted to ask for an adjournment time certain of 7 p.m. because we have many matters to handle in executive session before we lose too many members or people get too tired.
7 p.m., you mean 10 p.m.?
I'm sorry, yes, 7 Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern. Sorry, yes.
You want a full hour and a half for the executive session?
It may be necessary. Several people seem to think we might, and I think we may. And we end up losing people to where there's nobody participating in the executive session.
This is Richard. I'll second her motion.
Thank you, Richard.
Okay, so the motion is to change the time certain, which is now 10:25. To 10 o'clock. Is there any objection to that? Well, hearing none, we'll adjourn the open session at 10 o'clock.
Thank you so much.
Nia?
Yes. I sent out the waivers motion that I mentioned on May 21st, and you said that could be on today. I didn't see that on the agenda, and I sent it out. So I would like to...
Nia, my apologies. I don't remember it, and was that sent out at the last meeting, right after the last meeting? So it should be new business essentially. I'll look it up while we're doing this, and we'll put it on the agenda as new business. Any other changes to the agenda?
Mr. Chairman?
George, I'm sorry. I was talking while I was on mute. I'm sorry. I was talking to you and I was muted. I was wondering why. I sent it again just now to the entire PNB, so you should have it.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay.
And this is Leslie. I have another suggestion for the agenda.
Okay, but I heard Campbell first and then Leslie.
Okay.
Concern I have is that, you know, we should be doing things that will help advance the network and not be distractions to the network And in that regard, I think that there's a whole can of worms in this governance motion that is again brought up, this recalcitrant LSP motion. And I think that that is something that should go back to the governance committee and then be referred out.
That's appropriate as a motion when it's considered.
Well, it's on the agenda, and so that's why I brought it up.
Well, but this we're just it has to actually come onto the floor before it can be sent to the committee. That's an appropriate motion when it gets to the floor. So at this point, we're just deciding on changes to the agenda. Leslie?
Yeah, on that same motion, I would like to reverse the order that we're hearing it in. Meaning I think we should start with Joe's amendment as the most recent, go to Susan's, then to mine, and finish it with the governance committee motion. I just think that makes organizational sense.
What's on the floor is, in fact, that motion was postponed till now. So nothing else has ever been on the floor except the governance committee motion. What I hear you asking is that they be put on the floor in the opposite order.
Yes, that's what I'm asking. Since it's all under old business here.
Yeah.
Or unfinished business.
Let me think about that a moment.
Okay. I think we can dispose of them easier in the opposite order.
Point of information, sir.
Yes, go ahead.
This is Alberto. Very quickly.
This is Andrea.
Hi, Andrea. Welcome. Good, Alberto.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, this is Alonzo.
Hey. Alonzo, welcome.
I was listening. I'm not sure on this one. I was listening to you as you were speaking, and you are stating that the only motion on the table / on the agenda is the original governance resolution that came forth to the board, and I hear from Leslie that there's about three other amendments / substitutes / etc. that are hovering around the governance committee motion that's on the floor. Isn't it proper that all of these hovering amendments be brought up as we're beginning to discuss that particular motion whenever it does come to pass?
Yeah, you're right, Alberto. The other things are there for information. They haven't been moved or seconded or anything.
Uh-huh.
They can be done. That can be done, but it can only be done when the governance committee motion is actually on the floor.
Okay.
So, Leslie, that's the answer to that. And the order in which they're done at that time is really up to people who want to move things at that time. So, if you want to move Joe's amendment first,
bring it up,
and we'll be discussing that first. But what will be on the floor to be amended is the governance committee motion.
Excuse me for coughing on you.
Are there any other changes to the agenda? Okay, hearing none. At the in-person meeting in L.A., we had an executive session in which we created a work group to look into ways of promoting and enhancing the income of the stations. That group has been working and is expected to report back either at the July meeting or shortly before that. At our last And let me say that this will be a regular feature of our open meetings, is that I'll use the first few minutes to share what was done in the executive session meeting. At the March 21st meeting in executive session, we approved unanimously Arlene Engelhardt as the permanent executive director for Pacifica. There was also and thanked her for the work that she had done. There was also a motion which I will read some of, which was honoring Ambrose Lane. Ambrose Lane, I'm afraid I can't find it at the moment, but Ambrose Lane was, as you know, for many, many years, an important figure and still is in Pacifica. He was executive director. He was chairman of the board. He played a major role at PFW, and the board wanted to acknowledge that, and to we declared May 24th as Ambrose Lane Day, and there was a celebration for him at PFW on that day. And if you hang on a moment, I think I can find the text of the resolution. I'd like to read it into the record. Whereas Ambrose Lane is a committed and articulate activist, advocate, author, scholar, historian, leader, and educator who's been serving the Pacifica Foundation and network for more than 30 years in various key capacities, from programmer and host to foundation chair and interim executive director. Whereas Ambrose Lane has managed several human service agencies as executive director, chief executive officer, with annual budgets exceeding $16.5 million and a staff of 200-plus. These agencies include the National Center for Community Action, Incorporated, which serves as a think tank and training agency for more than 2,000 governmental and nonprofit agencies in 50 states, plus Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, Guam, and Micronesia. Whereas Ambrose Lane has served as an able, forward-thinking broadcaster on Pacifica PFW for over 30 years. He co-anchored national broadcasts of 3 Supreme Court confirmation hearings and 6 weeks of live coverage of the Persian Gulf War. He has written and produced several other special series for Pacifica's PFW and its Los Angeles station, KPFK. Whereas Ambrose Lane's other preeminent contributions include serving as the host and executive producer of We Ourselves in 1978, which is still aired twice weekly and addresses major social and religious issues impacting the nation's poor and minority populations. This groundbreaking, progressive, and thought-provoking talk show grew out of his proposal presented at the White House conference to fulfill these rights, convened by President Lyndon Baines Johnson. This development and empowerment proposal for African American and poor communities was used by the staff of U.S. Senators Robert F. Kennedy and Jacob Javits as a basis of federal financial support for community development corporations in economically depressed communities throughout the country. It also led to the creation of the New York State Urban Development Corporation. Whereas Ambrose Lane is a prolific critical and progressive author, commentator, and publisher who has written hundreds of articles, several books, and was founder, part owner, editor, publisher, and board chair of the Buffalo New York Challenger. And whereas Ambrose Lane has continued to serve WPFW as a member of the local station board, and despite debilitating illness, physically participated in key board votes, earning this distinction of being a pillar of Pacifica. Now, therefore, be it resolved that Monday, May 24th, 2010, be known as Ambrose Lane Day. One other thing I wanted to address, which is the role of individual members of the board with respect to staff and with respect to the question of what can we ask of staff. California law is very clear on our right to ask for any information that we want, and that this needs to be provided in a reasonable time. And I think that's really quite unambiguous. However, we do not, as individuals, have the right to task anybody on the staff with doing things that we think ought to be done, other than asking for information. As a board, we can do that. Collectively, we can do that. but as individuals, that's really not not within our purview. And needless to say, we also need to treat the staff with the respect that is we would give to any other human being. Not regard them as being in somehow an inferior position with regard to ourselves. So that's my entire report. I want to move on to first item on the agenda, which is the executive director's report. Arlene, did you want to go first, or did you want Renee to go first?
Mr. Chair? Yes. I think Summer was first. Go ahead, Summer.
I'm sorry. I didn't actually hear us approve the agenda. Did we do that?
Yes, we did.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Thank you.
And also, do you need a timer, sir?
I do, and thank you.
No problem.
And I believe we have 15 minutes for Renee and 10 minutes for Arlene. And Renee, were you going to go first on that?
Sure.
Whichever way is fine, whichever way you prefer.
Sure, I can start.
Okay, go ahead.
So I guess what I wanted to just start off with was present the status of where things are right now, you know, at all stations, and then specifically address how I selected each local, you know, how I appointed, actually, the top choices to Arlene for each local election supervisor. So just to start off with the general what has been done already, at each station, from after our telephone conference today with all five local election supervisors, all staff lists should be posted at each station. Carts are in production. At KPFC, carts have been running. Everyone has scheduled staff meetings with key staff, and especially the programmers, and we're having bi-weekly conference calls. Everybody's email and phone number is set up, and all the candidate nomination packages for staff and listener are up for use, and nominations are open. I developed a programming guidelines document, which is also online, and I've also sent it out to the people who really need it, which are obviously the local election supervisors and everybody involved in programming at each station who I have the contact information for, which is, you know, pretty much the program directors and the traffic coordinators. And I also managed to find a detailed description of single transferable voting method, and I also posted that it's a document that was developed by the KPFK election group in 2006, and so it's up there too. And just regular updates are being made to the website, so, you know, everybody should give me their feedback with respect to modifying things. Like I know that somebody just mentioned to me that if the font's too small, it's hard to read, so I'm going to make sure that the font is big enough, you know, not 10 font, because there are some things, for some reason, that I put in 10 font, and that was an oversight. I should have everything in 12 and 14 font, at least. So that's it with respect to what's going on, you know, just in general. And by Monday, I should have detailed rotation schedules for the initial rotation plan at each station with respect to, you know, how airwaves are going to promote the election. That's to be by Monday or, you know, some other day of next week, but definitely the deadline I set was Monday, but as, you know, things always go, it'll probably be a couple days after that. So that's it with respect to, you know, what's generally going on with the election. I wanted to present in detail how I went about selecting who I eventually appointed for the position of local election supervisor. So the first thing I did was I developed a detailed job description, and it's still posted. If you would like to review it, it's probably the most detailed that it has ever been. And I did that because I know coming into the job myself, it was very unclear, and I didn't know what to do, really, without a really detailed job description. So that's what I did, and I posted it specifically on idealist.org, five different job posts, Craigslist. I got all the station websites to post it. I sent faxes, and I also contacted a whole bunch of progressive media outlets asking them to post the job and help find qualified candidates. I'm not going to list all of those, but I do have all the records. I also built a web page from scratch overnight, obviously, in order to centralize election material and give a clear picture of the job at hand to potential candidates. And then I went through possibly the most rigorous selection process possible given the time frame and resources.
Oh, please.
I first obviously screened individuals based on their CV and cover letter, and I set up a 30-minute to hour-long interview where I systematically asked the following questions. One, based on your understanding of the job at hand, what would be your two top priorities as local election supervisor? Two, what is your availability for the next 5 months? Please explain how the position fits into your life. Please describe how you plan to manage your time in order to complete all the tests at hand. Three, given that you have all the station resources that you need, explain how you would go about producing various radio segments required by the position. Four, please explain ideas you may have with respect to generating hype, getting people to participate in the whole process. You can refer to organizing community events or other methods you plan to use to get the word out to as many folks as possible. And five, given that you have to manage a huge database of listener members in an Excel table format, please explain to me how you would keep track of reissuing ballots to listeners who may have received, who may not have received, or may have lost their ballot. So every single first interview that I did, I went through that, those five questions consistently, and I even recorded some of them. And overall, just to give you the numbers, at WPFW, I had 26 applicants that had, you know, a cover letter and cover letter and CV, and only seven of them signed up for an interview. So I got seven of the 26 to do a first interview. At WBAI, there were 41 applicants, and I also did seven first interviews of those 41. At KPFT, there were 38, and I did 10 first interviews. At KPFK, there were 63, and I did 16 first interviews. At KPFA, there were 41, and I did 16 first interviews. So after the first round, I selected individuals for a second round of interviews, and I had everyone prepare a one-week action plan and prepare questions they had for me. And then I assessed individuals based on content and organization of their action plan and the quality and depth of their questions. And so as a result of the, after that first interview, I interviewed five more people in person at WPFW, six people in person at WBAI, four people, a second interview was on the phone at KPFT, and four people at KPFK. And five people, again, in person at KPFA. And of that, I had, you know, the results of the selection process gave me a selection of highly qualified candidates at each station. So that's that. So I just wanted to be very specific about my selection process because it really is a hot topic right now. Too concerning why my candidate wasn't chosen, and they just wanted to make the...
Excuse me, I can't understand anything you're saying right now.
Would somebody please mute?
Can you give some order?
Oh, it's not a question of order. It's a question of noise in the background. Is there... The person that just entered the call.
Yeah, the person that just entered the call.
All right, well then I have...
That was me. This is Alex. I'm muting. Sorry.
Okay. Okay, Renee, please continue. Yes.
George?
Yes?
This is Arlene.
Yes.
Point of information, I don't believe we should be discussing individuals who may have been staff at some point or another.
I believe that's correct.
And George, a lot of this we're going to take up in executive session because it does concern questions of competency and some of our employees and things like that.
Okay. Renee, were you finished with your report?
Well, basically, that's it. The next piece had to do with specifically referring to why why certain decisions were made with respect to appointing the LES at KPFK specifically. But since I can't talk about that right now, my report is over.
Okay. Are there any questions for Renee?
Yes.
Other than that one.
This is Summer.
Summer, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Renee. Advertising on Craigslist, I will not even comment upon. But I would like a list sent to the PNB if we need to make a motion about it with the things you just rattled off to us already, you know, in terms of the criteria that you used. I unfortunately did not hear anywhere in your criteria either a question about elections experience or familiarity with Pacifica, and it sounds like you just did a general advertisement to, that kind of advertising, even the questions that were asked, don't seem really appropriate to our type of situation. But I would like to have a report basically sent out to the entire PNB that, and I didn't hear the web address. You said you had built a website. I'm sorry, I missed that. Ow. Hello?
You're still there.
Hi. I'm sorry, Renee, could you repeat the web address, please?
PacificaElections2010.org.
Oh, okay, thank you. Well, if you could put something together just on the things that you had just said to us, where the jobs were posted in that list of what your, and nothing about production experience for producing the carts or being bilingual for areas like Los Angeles and things
well,
like that.
Well, that's all in the detailed job description.
Okay.
My job description is like one page long, and it goes phase by phase, like to people's responsibilities, and I have a list. If you would like, I can read that to you. But
well, no, actually, I just did any
to read. I mean, I tried to be as specific as you can possibly get, and I gave a very, very rigorous list of required qualifications,
right. But did you ask,
as well as additional qualifications, which would be nice to have.
Well,
if
you could send that job description around to us, that would be nice for reference. But did you ask specifically about elections experience? Was that part of the criteria?
Well, I mean, it's an election-related job, so obviously, I mean, the job description is all about carrying out an election.
Right, but do any of these people have elections experience?
Oh, I mean, obviously, and I did get a lot of people that actually had a lot of election-related experience.
Good. Are those the people we hired? Do these people
This is an atypical election. This is not your typical election. We're talking about a very special election.
I'm
it's media democracy. It's very different.
I'm just asking a very simple question. Do any of the people that you hired have election experience? It's a very simple question. Can you answer that, please?
Yes.
I'm sorry?
Yes.
Hello? Yes, they do?
Yes.
Okay. Do all of them have election experience or just some of them?
It depends what you consider election experience. I mean, I'm not going to answer that right now because I don't have everybody's detailed CV right out here in front of me, and I don't want to do a disservice to any of the individuals that I hired, because I don't know every single thing that they've done in their lives.
Well, I would think that would be the most important thing that you would know is whether they had conducted an election before, and that you would know that off the top of your head, but I'm sorry, that's not the case. I'll let the next person ask questions. Thank you so much.
Yeah, George, this is Sean.
Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, I want to ask you, Renee. At KPFK, we had two LESs in 2 days, okay? Which says to me that there was a less than adequate interview process
because you not only interview people to find out if they have the qualifications, and from everything I've seen, I don't see anybody with any on-hands election running experience. But the point is, you also find out if these people are up for the job. Now, you appointed one woman who didn't even make it a day, and then you appointed another person. And so when you say to me that you ran complete or thorough interviews, I really have to doubt that. And then also I hear in New York where they had qualified people come and you didn't even give them an interview. You know, and this is very disturbing, because if we don't get people in place who know how to run elections properly and fairly, that means 3 years of pain and suffering for this foundation. So I'd like to know why we had, and I have my LSB asking me this question, two LESs in 2 days to begin with. That's just one question.
We never had two LESs in 2 days.
Excuse me, the first lady's name was Lewis Goldblatt, or Goldbold.
Mr. Chairman?
You can't say names on the
isn't
air.
Isn't it a... Yes. This,
okay, very
this,
good.
I think should be for
you. We had a woman and we had a man, all in 2 days. I will say that.
I'll allow the question. I think that Renee can use her judgment as to whether it should be executive session or not.
I made that announcement? Did I? I'm sorry, but I didn't. I only made the announcement when I knew who had been appointed.
Well,
so I don't know where you're getting your information from.
From Tracy Rosenberg, who sent out the names.
I'm not Tracy.
Every one of them.
I am Renee Asperia, and I am independent contractor, and every single person who I appointed dealt with me, didn't deal with anybody else. They dealt with me.
Well, you know, it was sent out on a Pacifica website that this woman was picked. Okay, and it was put out by your friend Tracy Rosenberg. Okay, then the next day,
Sean, I think
here.
You have
don't
the
have
answer to the question.
Sean, my answer to your question is one. You know, she wasn't hired. Okay, and I never made that official announcement. There was no announcement from me. Okay.
I'll send you the email, okay?
Can we move on, sir?
On Pacific.
Yes, please. Let's move on.
Yes.
Anybody can write an email.
Okay, I have one other question. Did you tell people in interviews with interviewees that you doubted the veracity of our general counsel? And do you understand the implications of that and how unprofessional that is in an interview?
What?
Did you tell interviewers in the interview that you doubted the veracity of our general counsel's opinions? Okay? Which, first of all, would be an inappropriate question to ask.
I'm very confused by your question, because I don't understand what you're talking about. If you could, dumb it down to just plain English words.
Did you, this is being totally unresponsive. It's very simple. Did you say to a person you were interviewing that you doubted the veracity of our legal counsel's opinions?
No.
This is a point of information. This is LaVar.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Point of information.
Yes, what's your point of information, LaVar?
My point of information is, does this require to be discussed in closed session in terms of we're using names of individuals that perhaps will, on an open...
I didn't use anybody's name in that. I just said an interview.
I was thinking about it, LaVar, and I don't think so. I think it's just a question of it doesn't really have to do with whether the general counsel really is or isn't capable. It's just a question of
point of order.
So please, folks. I'm going to allow the question. Do you want to answer it, Renee?
Well, my answer is I never said that I doubted anybody. I mean, the thing is, I made my decisions, and whatever came out, you know, whatever appointments or whatever, I made those independently of counsel. I made those based on my common sense for the most part. Actually, completely. So I really don't understand the question whatsoever, because...
Do you understand the implication?
I never...
Okay, let's move on. I don't think it's going to get wrong.
This is critical.
Let's move on.
This is critical.
Let's move on.
We'll take this up in executive session. I think there are many, many more matters here.
Because this is endangering the foundation right now.
Bullshit.
Yeah, I'm deeply disturbed by the responses also, but I think we need to take it up in executive session because it's going to require action, you know? I mean, anyway, I think we should... that's why I wanted a nice, long executive session to deal with these problems. Thank you.
If we can move on, I would like to. We're certainly out of time on the NES report.
Yes,
Renee,
we are.
Thank you for being there. Will you be, I guess you can't be available at the executive session.
I don't think it's necessary.
Okay. The next item is the executive director's report. Arlene?
George?
Yes, who's that?
Can you hear me, George? This is
I can.
Ricardo.
Who is it? Hi, Ricardo.
Ricardo?
Yes.
Renee cannot be in the executive session,
right.
Per se, but the board can ask her to be in executive session if they want to ask her any specific questions.
Right. Well, let me ask, are there members of the board who would like to ask Renee specific questions?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, and this is summer. I think
okay, so.
If critical things are going to come up, she should have the opportunity to answer things that may be wrong.
I would also, this is Rico, I would also move that we extend 10 minutes to continue this a little further. I have a question I'd like to ask.
Is there a second for Rico's
second.
Motion?
Oh, second.
Okay. Is there any objection?
I object.
Okay. who's taking the role, Richard or?
I'm taking the vote. I'm taking votes.
Okay. Would you take
a
vote on this?
10-minute extension?
Yes.
10-minute extension. Okay. Sharam. Sharam Amir. Tracy Rosenberg.
No.
Andrea Turner. Andrea. Joe Gonzalez.
Yes.
Sean O'Brien.
Yes.
Leslie Radford. Leslie?
I'm sorry, I was muted over here. Yes, that's fine.
Summer Reese?
Yes.
Rico Ross?
I said yes to Richard.
Who was that? Andrea?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I was on YouTube. I'm sorry.
Gotcha. Okay, fine. Rico Ross?
Yes.
Bill Crozier?
Epstein.
Alberto Larrero.
No.
George. George. Richard Uzel. Epstein. Nia Bediako.
Yes.
Kathy Davis. Jennifer Jaeger. Alex Steinberg.
Yes.
Alonzo Brown.
Yes.
Campbell Johnson.
Yes.
Kimberly Orendorf. Marcel Reed.
Absolutely.
Jim Bennett.
Abstain.
Fia Wangaza.
Yes.
Richard, this is Sharon.
13-1.
Yeah, go ahead.
Who is this?
This is Sharam. I'm sorry, I was on the mute button, so I mean, I just didn't. Did
okay,
you call my name?
Vote on
it? I'm voting for it. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. That's 14-1 to 2-3. 14-1-3.
Okay, the motion passes. Now, Rico, you wanted to ask a question. Is there anybody else who wants to ask additional questions? Okay, Rico, go ahead.
Yes.
Yeah. Hi, Renee.
Rico, then Campbell.
Hi, Renee. It's Rico. Thank you for your report.
No problem.
I was also looking at your website. It looks pretty damn good to me. I haven't had a chance to look through much of it, but it's kind of impressive. I guess my biggest concern, I don't know as much as I probably would like to know, but my biggest concern is about KPFK, because that's where I do know what's going on there. And
I know that there were certain things that you were worried about as far as the 3 months between jobs. That was something that you were quite concerned with. And if I'm not mistaken, that is what disqualified our present guy that we were using in the last time. I'm not mentioning any names. Is that correct?
No, I didn't disqualify him.
Oh, okay. He wasn't disqualified then?
Well, I mean, I didn't. I considered him. You know,
he was considered, but he didn't make the grades?
No.
Because what I was hoping that we could do is possibly give you more information that that may make you understand how difficult it has been at KPFK for us to get someone where people on all sides feel that this person is doing an adequate job. And that's not always the case. And I think once you find that, that's worth a lot more than someone who hasn't been tested. I know that, you know, politics shouldn't be play a role in this, but unfortunately, it's part of it. And when you come to Pacifica, you have to deal with things that are Pacifica at this time and probably been so in the last 10 years. I think that this particular gentleman has been tried and proven, tested and proven. And I think that in itself may be worth, if we can give you more information that you might feel may add something to his candidacy, I was wondering, would that even, if we were able to do something like that, would there even be a possibility that you may be able to reconsider at all?
At this point, no.
This is
okay.
Summer. I'd like to be on the stack again.
Campbell, then Summer.
Thank you.
Yes.
Richard.
Then Richard.
Hi, Renee, and I think that you certainly have a challenging job ahead of you, as well as the work that you've done thus far. I would like to inquire, and it seems as though it's the case, that you're not taking a one-size-fits-all perspective on the implementation of your position. Is that correct?
A one-size-fits-all?
In other words, circumstances at different stations perhaps require different...
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a huge... I mean, each station is different, and that's why my trips to WBAI and WPFW were so useful for me, and I really wish that I could have gone to KPFK, but time and resources were what prevented that from happening. But, yeah, that is, in every consideration, you know, each station, there are different realities, and so when you're hiring a team of people for five different situations, you have to take each context into account. I mean, by all means.
I have to apologize somewhat. That's like a mom home and apple pie type question. The other piece of that, I guess, is that would you be inclined to discuss, I know you're meeting with staff persons, but would you also be inclined to meet with any the LSB persons? At least at our station?
Oh, you mean to which? You
WPFW.
Mean just to talk?
Yes.
Oh, of course. I mean, whoever wants to talk, I'm open to talking, to getting all sides, all feedback. I mean, the more, the better for me.
Okay, terrific.
It'll just give me a greater perspective on everything. I mean, I really do want, and I really, you know, I have a cell phone that people can call. I have an email that I'm pretty much on top of, you know, every minute of the day, unless I'm sleeping. Definitely.
Okay, and also one last thing. Would you be inclined to meet with the candidates if they have, or the, if you can? I know that your travel budget is probably not huge, but certainly would you advocate for the LES to meet with candidates
as a group in regard to any concerns they may have?
Oh, yeah, and actually that's a it's a requirement for the local election supervisor to meet with every prospective candidate and to at least talk to them on the phone. I mean, that's a requirement anyway. That's one of the main top priorities of a local election supervisor is to manage candidates. They can manage the candidate nomination process, the campaign, everything. And so, does that answer your question? Or?
Surely. The only thing is that in that last question I was asking, you know, if they have any group concerns, you know, say a group of candidates have a particular concern that you would be willing to, if your time permitted with it, but certainly that you would advocate that your local election supervisors would meet with the candidates.
You mean a group instead of an individual?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see why not.
Okay.
I mean, group versus individuals, I mean, still, they're still, in, you know, still
right.
candidates running, so.
Sounds good
okay.
to me. Thanks,
Summer.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Yes. I guess, again, I'm very shocked to hear that you don't know off the top of your head that whether your five election supervisors have election experience, because I've hired lots of people, and I certainly know a group as small as five, whether they had done this before. I would like to know in the executive session what the criteria was more specifically, and in our specific situation at KPFK, how the person that was hired somehow rose head and shoulders above the person we've had before. Which also feeds into, if you've been able to fly to WPFW in Washington, D.C., and WBAI in New York, we are an hour from Berkeley in Los Angeles, and it costs way less than $100 to fly here. There's no way, I mean, anybody could fly down here in the morning and be back in Berkeley by the evening in one work day. Our manager is up in arms about this because it sucks up station resources, something fierce to train new people, run fun drives, have to bring in production staff to help them record stuff, and having people who've already done this before, of course, smooths things out, not just for the board but for the station. So, you know, we'd like a little more detail on that, how this decision was come about. And I would like those, you know, if you would please, without us having to formalize it into motion, just send us some sort of report with some of those details that you went over. And, we'd like, I guess, in the executive session to have a slightly better idea as to why the person that was chosen specifically for our signal area was chosen over other people.
This is Tracy for the stack of fiscal time.
Sure. And about the travel issue.
George,
send that
point of order.
I heard a point of order.
Thank you.
Yes. After sitting here listening to all of this, I think this is not legal. We can't influence whom the National Election Supervisor hires, and that's what it's beginning to sound like over the stream. And even in the executive session, I don't even know if we should be doing this. She or he is independent, and no director should be saying, well,
this is not a point of order, George. I think it is a point of order, actually. It's got to do with our bylaws and the relationship of the board to the...
I reserve a point of order when she's done.
And this is Summer for that, too.
You know, George, it's really... But when I'm, if I were to yell at you or call me to order, why aren't you calling Sean Tracy or Brian to order? I am speaking. I mean, you could disagree with me, but let me finish speaking.
I was defending your right to speak. I said it is a point of order.
I apologize. I didn't hear you. Sorry.
Okay.
I'm saying that, you know, it sounds to me like we're putting pressure on the woman. You know, why isn't she hiring this one? Why isn't the other one hiring? We're not supposed to be doing that.
I'd like to ask Ricardo's opinion on that. Ricardo, is this kind of questioning outside the bounds of what the bylaws require in terms of the distance between the PNB and the NES?
Well, the board has the right to be informed as to what's going on in the election process. However, the bylaws are clear that the election itself is to be independent from the PNB, and indeed the executive director as well, although the executive director hires the NES. So, you know, whatever information the board wishes to gather, they have every right to do that. However, Nia is right that to the extent that the board may be seeking to exert their will on the National Election Supervisor, that's not appropriate.
So questions are okay, but attempting to exert your will, badgering the NAS, or attempting to intimidate, whatever one wants to call it, it would be out of order then.
A point of order.
This is Summer.
Yes, your point of order, Sean.
Yeah. Now I agree that we're not supposed to be trying to influence the NES. But that's the whole reason this question has come up. The undue influence of a certain member of this PNB upon her. That, you know.
Sean, that's not a point of order at this point.
I know, but I'm saying, you let Nia go through and say it was badgering, and I'm just saying, don't we have the right, if we believe that there has already been undue influence, and that the process has already been screwed up from that undue influence, don't we have a right to question that? Don't we have a right, a duty, a fiduciary duty to this board to protect the foundation from the undue influence of certain board members over the NES?
This is Summer.
Well, given...
can I
get on the stack? This is Renee. I think I'm still on the stack at some point.
And Jim on the stack as well.
As far as Sean's question about a point of order, there would have to be a discussion of that sort on the table, which that isn't actually on the table at the moment. What we have is the NES's report and questions to her about what's transpired in this way.
Well, my point of order goes to our attorney. Don't we have a duty as board members to protect the foundation from an NES who is under the undue influence?
There's a question of fact there to begin with. Yes, go ahead.
I want to try and shorten
this. We're
out
of time.
I feel that we all have many more questions, including how we got this NES, maybe, but we have time in executive session, and some of these things are rather delicate and dicey, and I think... For everyone to fully discuss whatever is on his or her mind, maybe we should take up the rest of this in the executive session where we can fully ask our questions, because there are competency issues here, things that aren't just about whether we change.
I'm inclined to agree with that, and we are out of time.
I think it's more appropriate at this point.
And Renee, can you be on the call at the beginning of the executive session?
Yeah, of course.
At 10 a.m.? Okay. Thank you. 10 p.m., yes.
It's an all-nighter.
Okay, we're going to move on. The ED's report, Arlene.
Okay, I think I will actually be quite brief. I just want to make everyone aware that we will be represented next week at NFCB. Afia and Jim will be there from our affiliate board reps. And Ursula will be there as the person who deals with, and I will be there. While I'm there, I'll also be having dinner with John Krigler, an informal, at no charge to us session, for some back and forth with him. And I'll also, of course, be talking to as many of our affiliate station representatives as I can while we're there, attending the affiliate meeting on Friday afternoon, as I'm sure will be Jim and Afia, and of course Ursula will be the lead at that meeting. And also on Thursday noon, I'll be attending the luncheon where Brian DeShazer will be receiving the Bader Award for his work with the archives, and we're certainly very proud of that and thrilled that he has received that award.
Would you say a bit more about what the Bader Award is?
The Bader Award is an award given by NFCB to someone who has made substantial contributions to community radio, community or public radio, not just in 1 year, but basically over many years of work or over a lifetime. And so it's quite an honor. I'll put it this way, on behalf of the board of directors at WMNF, we nominated Vicky Santa 1 year, and there was a lot of support, but she didn't actually win the award. I'm very excited to be able to report that Brian did win the award, and that this is an honor not only for him personally, but also for all of Pacifica. And I think it's an acknowledgement of the tremendous importance that the archives at Pacifica play, the treasure that they are, and giving some underscoring to the fact that this is a treasure to be protected and in some ways revered. It's a part of our history that isn't available anywhere else. The only other issue that I wanted to bring up was the July, you know, board meeting will be here in Berkeley. I have been working on a number of issues that involve some aspects of national programming, not required but available. Coming up will be the Take Back America Conference this coming week that will be broadcast on Tuesday and Wednesday from Washington as part of Letters to Washington at very, very little cost to Pacifica. Joint venture with Free Speech Radio News. At the end of the month, we'll be covering the confirmation hearings of Elena Kagan. And on July 16th, thanks to Janet Coleman and John O'Malley and many other people, including much donated acting talent, they'll be honoring James Joyce Bloomsday, and that will be broadcast from WBAI on the 16th and available to any of our stations and affiliates that wish to broadcast it. The press release went out today on that, and there is a cautionary warning with it that some of the language or some of the concepts in it need to be broadcast during the safe harbor between 10 p.m. and 5 a.m. The John Krigler has in past years totally given his approval to this, but it's a reading of Ulysses, and I know that several of our stations will be carrying all our parts of that. And unless people have questions, that's really all I had to cover today.
This is Summer.
Okay, Summer, go ahead.
Yeah, Arlene, do we have any status on how things are going in New York with the fund drive and everything? Not hard numbers, just, you know, any...
I believe the CFO is going to report
oh,
on that.
Oh, she is. Okay, I apologize then. Okay.
This is Jim. I have a question.
Okay, Jim.
Arlene, isn't Amy Goodman going to be giving the closing speech at NFCB?
Yes, yes.
And that's Saturday, June 12th, I think at 12:30, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe that's correct, yes.
This is Afia.
Afia, go ahead.
Yes, I wanted to point out that I have reservations about the insertion of staff between the affiliates and our elected representatives, and that I will be raising that with the board for resolution.
Okay. Any other questions for Arlene?
I might also mention that one other thing, we've had a couple of affiliates that have tuned in to the aspect of programming and have asked to get together just on an informal breakfast, on an informal basis, either over breakfast or at another time, and so we'll probably be making that available too.
And this is Summer. I had one other question.
Is there anyone else that wants to ask?
Yeah.
Okay, well, hearing none, Summer, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Arlene, in all of these various shared programming things that we're doing, and some of them sound really good with, you know, broadcasts of things like the Supreme Court hearings, are we looking at doing anything in terms of the KPFK news broadcast down here as we move forward and what we're doing with the various programming improvements?
I'll put it this way, Summer. I've raised that issue that there needs to be some, you know, real consideration of carrying issues for KPFK as part of that newscast, and I'm told that they are being that there are two reporters that are being carried as part of the newscast. I'll be perfectly honest that I have not been available to monitor it to the point to know for sure if that's the case. One, I can't even remember what it was, but a specific something came to my attention last week, and I passed it on to the co-chair of the news department, and they did have someone scheduled to cover it. I think it was this past Monday, but it may be that it's next Monday, and it was going to be covered on the news. I also brought to their attention the fact that I've gotten some complaints about the fact that they hear the Berkeley weather I've been told that they report the Berkeley weather, the Fremont weather, and the Los Angeles weather.
Yes.
Once again, I need to monitor that to see what's happening. But bottom line, this is, you know, local programming, so it's partly the responsibility of the local station to make
that.
Of
course. No. I know that it's just because it's a shared broadcast. I want to, you know, I'd like to see us all working on it so we get things back into.
I would too, Summer, and I feel that, you know, one of the things that I'd like to see is a news team that was, that had at least one member at every station in the network.
Yeah.
That was also contributing some things to a network news that we do not at this point have.
Well, maybe we'll work on these things in the future then. Okay,
exactly.
Thank you.
It's certainly part of the things on the programming list.
Yeah. Okay, good. All right. Thanks a lot.